Welcome to the Femi Pod. These conversations are for women runners that go beyond running. Brought to you by your Femi founders, Lydia O'Donnell and Esther Kuhn. To the Femi Pod for episode 124. It is great to be here with my bestie Est. You probably didn't expect us this week. We were meant to have an interview with an amazing guest, but we wanted to hold fire on that episode, and it's going to be coming out next week, which is a very good one. So make sure you come back next week to listen to that. But in the meantime, Est, how are you?
Yeah, I'm really good, thanks. Excited to be here and chat with you all as usual. How are you, Lids? How are you going?
Yeah, good. Things are good. I am like getting settled in Manly. I now am living in Sydney, and it's been a good week of training. It's been nice to kind of get back into like a routine. I have been saying to people this is like the first time in probably, I don't know, maybe 2 years that I've had a bedroom. Like a proper bedroom and a base and somewhere to like store my things and feel like I am coming home. So it's been really nice to be here, and I feel like my training since the half really has like I took a few days to obviously recover and rest, but I seem to have bounced back quite quickly, which has been nice, and just get back into the swing of training again. And I have been going to the gym. Everybody would be happy to hear. I've been back pushing tin. And funnily, I had a blood test on Monday. I like went to go get my bloods done, just like a regular checkup. And it was mostly for my iron, but I thought I'd check kind of everything. And my bloods came back, and there were like some really high liver enzymes, and I wasn't like sure about them. And you and I were like kind of Googling what was going on about these high liver enzymes. And I was like, of course, concerned, because they were like from what the normal range were. Mine were like extreme. Anyway, I spoke to the amazing Dr. Izzy, as well as the doctor that called me. And apparently they're just from training. So apparently it's quite normal to have these kind of like elevated enzymes around, like if particularly if you've been in the gym and like lifting heavy weights and stuff. And I was like, well, I did get my bloods done probably 12 hours or slightly more after I went to the gym and did a hectic session, so maybe it's not so surprising. But yeah, I've got to go get my iron tested again, because I don't think that was like a normal reading. But yeah, if that has happened to anyone else, that's just a bit of an insight. Like, it's funny because I don't know, I stress when I see things that are abnormal. You're like, oh no, what's going on? But when you talk to the doctor and they're like, oh, are you like an athlete? And I was like, yeah, I run a bit. And she's like, oh, how much do you run? And I was like, oh, like every day. And she's like, how much every day? I was like, I don't know, maybe like 15, 20, sometimes a bit more every day. She's like, what? I was like, oh yeah, I forget that. That's not normal. And I'm like, no wonder I'm tired, and no wonder those bloods came back slightly abnormal. But yeah, I'm good. I'm well, and all is good. So how are you, Est?
When you were messaging me, I was like, maybe you should like go get checked immediately. But it's interesting, eh? Like, I've definitely had weird readings as well, and like it can be explained from pushing your body really hard. So it just shows you like what's actually going on inside your body all the time when you train hard. We really are putting our bodies through a lot. So we need to be nice to them. I had this weird reading once anyone listening ages ago, I had a really weird thing that you shouldn't get in New Zealand called Yersinia, and it's like really bad for your tummy. And I had like some stuff going on, and you can get it from like contaminated vegetables and stuff. Which was not fun. But anyway, I remember getting my bloods done. My ferritin was like 150. And I was like, whoa, holy, that's sick.
That's so high.
I was like, that's the best. Like, normally it's like 50 or something. And then, when you were telling me about your high ferritin lids, I was like, it might be from whatever's going on in your body, like inflammation and stuff.
Yeah, my ferritin, just to give you all context, this week when it came, when I had the bloods, it came back that my ferritin was 50, and I have never had ferritin at 50. My ferritin usually sits between 10 and 20. So I was like, whoa, that's so high. And I was getting my bloods checked because I'm obviously just like tired and fatigued, and it usually comes down to low iron. So I was like, if it's not my iron, then what is it? But yes, I talked to Dr. Z and she was like, that will be an abnormal reading. And I was like, damn it, I thought I cracked the code.
You thought you'd finally suss the iron. But I actually got my bloods done recently too, and my iron was a bit low. It was 35, which is not fabulous. So I've started back on some supplements and trying to eat like all the foods that Sarah says, our amazing dietitian, says to eat. Lots of spinach, taking my iron early in the morning before coffee and before I train, which is hard because I like to immediately get up and have my coffee. But I've been waiting like 20 minutes, which is good. And I'm having two tablet. I take Floridix, which is quite easy on your stomach. It's definitely not as potent as like Ferrograd C, but that just absolutely ruins my stomach. So yeah, it's better than nothing, and hopefully over time it'll get better. But I do think I can feel it, like when I'm running. And sometimes doing speed sessions, I'm like, oh, this feels like abnormally hard and feel a bit heavy and stuff. So, yeah, I wonder if it's also like a response to getting more into running, because running is obviously high impact. And I wonder if like I've been upping my mileage, like, you know, most people when they're at a certain level kind of stay at that level, or like they're running those Ks most weeks and that's just like they're consistent. Whereas I'm just sort of like increasing every week, so I wonder if it's like quite hard on my body, and that's kind of why my iron's dropped a little. But
True.
yeah, I really want to get them up.
You just wait for our episode next week because it does cover all things iron and it's pretty interesting.
Cool. Yeah, I'm excited. I wasn't able to be in that conversation, so I'm excited to hear it all. Sounded like a pretty cool one. But yeah, so that is kind of what's going on in terms of like my bod. But then aside from that, I am training's going pretty well. I had like a really good speed session last week. And then I did another speed session this week, which was also not like terrible. So I was quite happy with that. And then yeah, I'm just continuing to try to build up my training. I think I'm going to take a little bit of a down week next week. Grace reminded me to do that, and I know that it's really beneficial to take one like after 3 weeks of harder training. So I might start doing that every fourth week, just like dropping it a little bit, pulling back, and then going hard again when I get my period, which I'll be excited about. So yeah, that's it for me. I don't have any plans to race really. Lids was dropping in a potential race in August, which maybe I'll do the 10K at, but I'm not sure yet. Think about it, see how we're going. But yeah, that's my training and iron level update for everyone.
I feel like, yeah, we need to keep everybody in on our bloods and our iron throughout our training as well. But yes, we have, well, I have some really exciting news, but it is yet to be announced about our potential race coming up. I am pretty excited about, and it's one of those ones that I didn't think too much about and I just signed up to. So
Yay.
lots more to come. But we thought today we would dive into a bit of a conversation around base training and building a really strong base. I think Est and I, because we've been running and coaching for so long, I think sometimes we forget that not everybody knows the basics and like some of the stuff that comes supernaturally to us, particularly around programming and building up your like base fitness. I think, well, there's just a lot of people that maybe don't even know like the purpose of that, the point of that, and how you do that really well. And so we thought today we'd spend some time kind of diving into why a strong base matters, how you can do that, and how that can really make a huge difference. So let's kind of strip it back to the real basics. I feel like I'm going to say base and basics a lot today, but let's kind of go into the need to build the strong base. And we speak a lot about running being this really kind of long-term training approach to gain fitness and gain conditioning to kind of get good at running and how long it can take to reach your peak in the sport, which for those who haven't heard us speak about that before, they say as a runner, it takes about 8 years to reach your ultimate peak in the sport. And that's a long time. And that's 8 years of like consistent running. So when you think about maybe injuries that arise or sickness that arise and things that might take you out for like 3 or 6 months at a time, that stuff is subtracted from that 8 years. So it might end up being 10 years of training with some inconsistency in there to ultimately get to where you potentially could get in terms of your best or your highest fitness level that's possible. And so building a base is such an important part of that journey, and building a base gives you the ability to carry your fitness for a long time. And what I think we see, especially nowadays with so many races in the race calendar and this kind of difficulty getting into races, so people are signing up to them like a year in advance and maybe filling their calendars up so far in advance and trying to kind of get into this like hype around running and racing and doing halves and full marathons all the time, people forget or maybe don't even realize that one of the most important parts of your training block is the base training. And when we talk about base training, it is monotonous. It is somewhat boring. It's not kind of your spicy speed race pace work that you're doing all the time and getting the legs turning over and smashing your heart rate and, ultimately running race pace regularly. It is like doing slower, longer miles to increase your endurance and increase your overall fitness, as well as condition your body to the load that is required when it comes to some of that race-specific work.
Yeah, I love to think of like base training as like a pyramid, and like the stronger your pyramid will be means the stronger the base, essentially. So like the base is like the bottom of the pyramid, and then the top is like you peaking for a race, and that's like heaps of race pace effort. But like the bigger your base and the stronger your base, which basically like lids basically basically we're gonna say it so much, what lids were saying before, like monotonous, like we're talking lots of aerobic running, so keeping your heart rate relatively low, you're not pushing really really hard, lots of long runs, easy runs, tempo kind of work. Like it's working on your ability to use oxygen as fuel, so your aerobic base essentially. So like we really want to spend, several weeks building that base really strong, really stable, and then from there we add the like speed, so the more intense speed, where you might be hitting a lot more race pace or even faster than race pace, and then you're doing like power work in the gym, and then essentially you're peaking. So that's like the top of the pyramid. So I think, yeah, like people glamorize running when they're doing like massive workouts on the track or like hitting these extremely fast paces. But like those people only got to that point because they had a really strong base and they have worked on those other elements. So it's like, yeah, it's definitely like the unglamorous side of running, I think, a little bit. But yeah, it's all those easy runs, all the mileage consistently over weeks building. That's your base work. And then from there, you can add like the speed and stuff on top.
Definitely. I think I heard this analogy recently that like the base training is around more like preparation to train. So like preparing yourself to do the actual training for your race. And the base training is like gathering all the puzzle pieces and as many puzzle pieces as you can get. So the longer you're spending doing base training, the more puzzle pieces you have. And then the actual race specific training, what we would call it for me is like specialized training towards your race, is actually putting all of those puzzle pieces together. And the more puzzle pieces you have to put together, the bigger your puzzle is. So ultimately, the more base training you do, the bigger that kind of aerobic ability you have. Then when you go into race specific training, it really allows you to not only reach some of those intensities in training and obviously on race day, like you want to be able to hold yourself together and those really big workouts if you're doing, say, marathon training, or those really fast workouts if maybe you're doing, say, 5Ks or 10Ks or something even faster, like 1500s, you want to be able to hold yourself together when you're pushing through 200 meter reps at a really fast pace. But you also want to have that base training and that conditioning for the back end of your race. And that is everything from the 1500 to the marathon, the last 25% of your race. Undoubtedly, your body is going to start to fall apart. Your form is going to start to fall apart. You're tired, you're fatigued. The goal is just to get to that finish line. But the stronger your base and the stronger your conditioning is to running, then the better you're going to be able to actually hold it all together. It's like the glue that holds your training together and the glue that holds your race together. And what I think is really a really good way to know if you've got a strong base or not is how quickly you can recover from some of those sessions. So if you're doing a speed session on a Tuesday, how are you feeling on the Wednesday? If you're going out and slogging through your run on the Wednesday, or you're feeling incredibly fatigued on the Wednesday and you're not running and you're going to training on Thursday and still feeling tired, that is probably because your base just isn't there and you need to get your base up to speed to be able to like start to recover better from the hard workouts, the workouts that are real quality sessions, to be able to bounce back from them and keep the train moving. And that's where the consistency comes from, and that consistency is what makes us better as athletes. So it definitely takes a lot of time, and I think myself over the last few years, because I haven't raced so much, I have been doing a ton of base building. And I think even last month I was up in the trails and I was running quite slow pace, but my heart rate was, you know, most of my runs were sitting heart rate around 140 to 160. I wasn't necessarily pushing the pace or pushing the speed. And I feel now I'm ready to kind of move into that more race-specific work because I have that base that I've been building over the last few years, where I think for a lot of runners who maybe are even new to the sport, they want to just jump straight into race-specific training. And that's fine, but I think it's just accepting that your maybe first few builds to races, if you're new to running, should be about building that base. It shouldn't be how fast can I run this 5K or how fast can I run this 10K. It's like, cool, I'm going to follow the 5K specific plan or the 10K plan, but the workouts, I'm not doing the workouts to necessarily go as hard as I can improve my fitness at all. It's about just like getting through them to build that base and be able to recover from them as quickly as I can to like kind of just keep moving.
Yeah, exactly. I think the other thing about base training that prepares you for race day, so this is the scenario where you had more time and you weren't going straight into like a race plan, is that like resilience to injury. Because the more, like if you were someone brand new to running and you're like, I'm going to run a half marathon in 12 weeks, you don't have the mileage in your legs and that base and that aerobic strength to like help you resist injury. So like your chance of getting injured is way higher than someone who's got a really big base, because like running is really high impact and the risk of injury in running is relatively high. So if you don't have that base training, you don't have that consistency and mileage in your legs, like you're way more at risk of getting injured. So like the beauty of base training is like, yes, it's a bit boring. You might not be smashing out 400 meter reps as fast as you can, but you do have still have variety in your running, but you're also just building that resilience in your legs and you're building that that injury prevention or that, yeah, the mileage and consistency in your leg that's going to help you to then in 3 months time, 6 months time, or a year's time, push really fast, hold paces for longer, but then also have like much less risk of injury. So yeah, it's like we always say, it for me, it's really hard because you don't get like the instant gratification from like base building. It's like week on week of kind of just getting out there and showing up. But in the long run, you're going to perform so much better when you do train towards a race and start pushing your body really, really hard, because you can actually handle it and you can show up not getting injured. I think what you were saying before, Lids, just reminded me I've still got a fair way to go, because I definitely am showing up sometimes after speed runs being pretty fatigued and like I know I did have 3 months off running completely, and then 2 months of like running like 10 Ks a week, like nothing really. So yeah, it's just a good reminder for everyone, even someone like myself that's been running for like many, many years. Like it does take time, and potentially I would fare better at the moment by pulling my foot off the gas a little bit, showing up a little bit slower sometimes in those speed runs, and then being able to show up a couple of days later and actually run well again. So yeah, put my hand up and say I still make the mistakes for sure.
We definitely all still make mistakes, and I think that is just the beauty of running and following plans and seeing that progression. But I also have definitely made mistakes. Like, I try to pride myself on like just do the work and get the work done and have that mentality of like all of that work is just stacking on top of each other, and it doesn't one workout doesn't mean anything. You need to get the consistency of like workouts week on week, long runs week on week, easy runs between all of that. Like, that is where the progression comes. But I definitely found myself, even in the last few weeks leading into Ballarat Half Marathon, I had a really good workout the week before Ballarat Half Marathon, and I almost like used that to prove my fitness to myself, that I was in shape to run a certain time for Ballarat Half Marathon. And you should never use workouts just to prove fitness to yourself. Workouts are there to like get you to a position to run really well on race day, but they're not there as like a go and run this one-off mile rep session and see how quick you are. Like, that's just not what training is about. Race day is where you are proving your fitness and seeing how strong you are, but it's not about doing that in training. And I have made that mistake as well. And I think I'm trying to like change my mentality around training now and just being like, I mean, I did a K rep session this week and I feel like I barely looked at my watch. I just wanted to get through. Luckily, I was with a group, so I just stuck with a couple of the boys for the K reps. And rather than being like, oh, I hit that split, like, go me. I just like, cool, I'm just getting the work done. I feel kind of tired, to be honest. I was quite tired because I just done that heavy lifting session, but I just like knew that I was banking all of that training throughout that session. And then obviously the other training around it, knowing that that's going to pay off in the future versus like just going to one session. And I remember I used to do this when I ran regularly at run communities and run clubs down in Melbourne. I'd just go to training, hammer my sessions, and think that I could prove my fitness in one session, and that meant that I could run a certain time. It was like that mentality is unsustainable, and it doesn't actually set you up to race really well. You just have to look at training as training and then use it as the best prep to get you to race day.
Yeah, totally. I think like training can definitely help give you confidence, but I think when you've got a mentality like you mentioned before, Lids, it puts you at risk of overtraining, right? Because you're like, okay, I feel good today. I am going to entirely smash myself because I want to see how fast I am to give me that, boost before my race. But like, maybe we should have just kept it at, a 90% effort workout. So a tough one, but like not completely empty the tank. Just to prove that your fitness is there when you kind of already know it is, but it's like you're relying on that. And I think, yeah, it puts you at risk of pushing too hard in sessions, smashing yourself, and especially like, a week and a half out from a race where you feel so good and you do a session like that might actually take you 5, 6 days to recover from because you push so hard just to prove to yourself, and then you put your actual risk at your race at risk. And that's exactly what we don't want to do. So, like, yeah, there's definitely confidence to be gained from training, but it's like a fine balance of like using your training as a stepping stone and not smashing yourself, emptying the tank, ruining yourself for the next 5 days to a week, just to prove a point. But I have, oh, made so many mistakes like that. When I lived in Melbourne, every workout I did, I was emptying the tank 100%. And I did not get faster. I completely plateaued, didn't get any better. Then I changed coaches, went back to like quite varied training where I was never finishing, like falling on the ground, exhausted. And I dropped like 10 seconds in my 1500 from doing that for a month because I actually let my body recover and stack the training rather than smash myself each time. So, yeah, definitely still make those mistakes. It's hard.
Yeah, we all learn every training block. I feel like you learn more about like what actually you need in your body and what works for you. But I think a real key one is, yeah, checking in on how you feel the day after a speed session. Whether you're running that day or not, it's really good to like just do a bit of an overview of like how tired am I? How are my legs feeling? How is my chest feeling? If I wanted to go move my body, can I do that? Because I think that's a really good point to just know how hard you've pushed yourself in your speed session. And if you're like, I feel fucked and I feel like I couldn't run and I'm so tired, then you most probably have pushed yourself too hard in your speed session. And it's a good sign to just maybe pull it back slightly. Of course, for us women who have a menstrual cycle, that can also come into play and it might make you feel more tired in some phases, backing up sessions compared to other phases. So you also have to acknowledge that. But over months and months of training, you should start to see some kind of similarities between how you feel between the different phases. But yeah, it does take a long time to build a strong base. And I think everybody is different. If you are someone who is, let's take me for example, I have been not racing for a long time. I've started racing again. I have been building my base over the last few years. But I have also tried to periodize my training around just other chaotic things going in my life. Whereas, say, Esther, for example, who's been injured, you might take 3 months to build your base and then you kind of can start doing more specific speed work towards a race. Whereas a brand new beginner to running, I would say you probably want to give yourself like 6 to 12 months of base building before you go into any like really specific work. And the longer you take to build that base and the more consistency you can have across building the base, the more it's going to pay off for you in the long term. And we are all about sustainability, being sustainable queens at FME. So the stronger your base is, the more sustainable you'll be and you'll be able to run forever. But I think it'll be really good to just give maybe some examples, Esther, around like what a good base building plan could look like. And I think it's really quite simple and it isn't rocket science. And I think no matter if you're training for a strong track season, wanting to do 1500s, or you're wanting to do a marathon, like the base building phase will look pretty similar no matter what you're training for. And it's not that we're saying in the base building phase that you can't and shouldn't be doing speed sessions. You definitely can. And we can chat through some of what those speed sessions could look like. But we would suggest steering away from really specific race pace workouts and doing really specialized training towards a distance or a race. That's where, if you do that in your base building phase, you almost become somewhat immune to that training and you might not be able to hold that training consistently for a long time. And then when the time comes where it actually matters to do that work, say if you're doing a 5K, like 12 by 400s is a really standard 5K workout, right? And you're doing that off maybe like 45 to 60 seconds rest. So it's a pretty fast, pretty quick turnaround session. But you wouldn't be doing that in your base building phase because it's going to A, be really hard to reach 5K pace in your base building phase when you don't have the speed in your legs. But also, it's just going to take so much out of you in those sessions if you don't have the fitness to hold them together. So, like, use your base building phase to actually, like I said, build that base of the pyramid. So when it comes to finesse your speed, let's say, you can actually do that in a really like sustainable quality session way. So give me some set speed sessions that we would maybe provide in our Femi focus that's around like the base building.
Great question. Lots of tempos, I think, working under threshold. So threshold is where, like, your lactate threshold is where you can continually buffer or remove lactic acid, which is like a byproduct of pushing hard and training. So where underneath your lactate threshold, you can do that for at least an hour, essentially. So you can hold that pace for that hour, whilst buffering that lactic acid out of your system. So a lot of that work is really powerful because you work on your lactate threshold, but it's not as taxing as working at like VO2 max, which is like when you're getting really hard efforts. Like let's say that 12 by 400 meter kind of workout, that would be a VO2 max session or like a really high intensity session. So I think a lot of tempo work, so you might be doing, depending on your ability level, anywhere from 10 minutes up to like 30 minutes of like steady state running. So that's kind of, we call it comfortably uncomfortable. It's hard to say like zones wise for someone, but we offer paces in Femi that should be relatively close to accurate. But if you can imagine it's like a 7 out of 10 effort on like a RPE scale, or if you do have your zones worked out, like you've done lactate threshold testing on a treadmill where you've had your blood taken, you know, every time you up your pace, like that's really the only way you're going to get super accurate lactate threshold testing, that sort of training. So if you don't have that 7 out of 10 kind of effort, comfortably uncomfortable for a relatively long time, like that's really good for base training and a really good speed session. Alongside that, you might do like a progressive tempo where you might do like 10 minutes at that sort of lactate threshold or just under, and then you go a little bit faster for the last 5 minutes. Hill repeats, but like not maxing out hill repeats. So like it might be like 20, 30, 40 seconds and you feel kind of strong while you push up the hill, but you're not getting to that point where you get to the top, you're leaning over your legs because you're so cooked. So it's more about sort of like that. Yes, 7 out of 10 effort is kind of where we want to sit in those speed sessions. But alongside that, strides are really key because you're not going to get to the heart rate of like above lactate threshold, like I mentioned before. You're going to stay well under that, but you might be doing like 20 seconds at 5K pace. So it's fast, but it's short. So you're not like fully fatiguing your body, but you're getting your legs used to running fast. So yeah, like strides are really useful. And then speed sessions where we're working tempo, a little bit of hill work for strength, those sort of things. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, I 100% agree. I feel like the tempo work for me is like crucial. I personally feel like I run so strong off just weeks and weeks of long tempos. And I might start doing my tempos at like 20 minutes and then increase to 25. And then maybe by the end of the baseboarding block, I'm doing like 40 minute tempos, which is a long time and maybe not what I would recommend for everybody, but being able to sustain a pace for a certain amount of time and keep your heart rate at a certain rate for a long period of time is what really increases your aerobic capacity. So for me, doing those long tempos and then maybe while I'm getting to the end of the baseboarding phase, I'm starting to increase the tempo work to like a progressive tempo where I am starting to push the pace slightly faster by the end of the tempo, maybe getting more up to half, maybe like 2 minutes at 10k pace. So it's not a lot of work, but it is getting the legs, prepping the legs to then go into a really specialized training block of race specific work. So I find that stuff super important, and then agree with the strides. Like I feel most people, if there was one thing I feel like people don't do well in their training programs, it's their strides. They tend to just like not do them because it's like, oh, it's only 5 by 20 second efforts. Like I need to do them. I'm just going to skip them today. But doing them every week for 12 weeks is going to make a huge difference to your leg speed and your running form and economy. So doing those strides is important, but rather than seeing them as a workout necessarily, they're more of a form base or form building effort, and you aren't taking short breaks between each effort. Like take as long as you want. You literally could stand around for 5 minutes if you wanted to between, you know, 20 second strides, because it's not necessarily about fluctuating that heart rate and backing up the heart rate as quick as you can. It's literally about just getting the legs moving and activating the right muscles. So strides, I think, is really key to do throughout the base building phase as well. But I agree, I think the more you can just layer and layer and layer and stack and stack and stack, then that's really where kind of your true running form and fitness will come.
So it requires patience, what we always talk about.
It requires patience, definitely. But hopefully that has been helpful to you all. I feel, again, like maybe sometimes skip the basics too much, and we really want to strip it back and just start kind of filling in some gaps for people, particularly if you're new to running, but also for people who have been part of the community for ages and maybe have been following Focuses and Femi for a long time, but don't maybe understand the need to do like the base training between your really specialized training blocks. So if you have any other questions on periodization of training and why we do particular things and why we schedule particular workouts at different times, don't hesitate to reach out to us. We're always here to chat and answer questions. We have now launched the new Femi app, the Glow Up, which is so cool. And thank you so much to everybody for your feedback. We really appreciate it all. So if you haven't checked out the new app, we definitely suggest going and doing that and then coming to us for any questions. But we do want to make you all feel like you have coaches in your pocket. So we're always here to chat when you need us. You can either message us on Instagram at femi.co, or you can reach out to us through our website, through our support network, or on our email at support@femi.co, or our slide into our own personal DMs.
Thanks everyone for listening.
We will be back in your ears next week with that very special guest, so come back for that one. Thank you.